गुरु ब्रह्मा गुरु विष्णु गुरु देवो महेश्वरा गुरु साक्षात् परब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः गुरु ब्रह्मा गुरु विष्णु गुरु देवो महेश्वरा गुरु साक्षात् परब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः Thank you.
Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Today there's a new program of Osho Radio, especially made for you, with music from the world of Osho and a discourse by Osho, in which you can find hints and details for your search on the path. The discourse by Osho today is from the series The Alpha and the Omega, Volume 10, Number 9. Actually, we've been doing these discourses for a long, long time, but now it seems we're coming to the end of it, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did myself. In today's lecture, Osho talks about the law of grace as opposed to the law of gravitation. Problems, frustrations, desires, many things can pull you down in your daily life. Osho is explaining that at the same time there's another law, the law of grace, that can work for you once you become aware of what is happening inside of you.
Buddha has said that the last desire to drop is the desire to be. There are millions of desires. The whole world is nothing but desire objects. But the basic desire is to be. The basic desire is to continue, to persist, to remain. Death is the greatest fear. The last desire to be dropped is the desire to be. When your awareness has become perfect, when viveka, discrimination has been achieved, when you have become a witness, a pure witness of whatsoever happens outside you, inside you, you are no more a doer. You are simply watching. The words are singing outside. You watch. The blood is circulating inside. You watch. The thoughts are moving inside. You watch. You never get identified anywhere. You don't say, I am the body. You don't say, I am the mind. You don't say anything. You simply go on watching without being identified with any object. you remain a pure subject. You simply remember one thing, that I am the watcher, the witness. When this witnessing is established, then the desire to be disappears. And the moment the desire to be disappears, death also disappears. Death exists because you want to persist. Death exists because you don't want to die. Death exists because you are struggling against the whole. The moment you are ready to die, death is meaningless. It cannot be possible now. When you are ready to die, how can you die? In the very readiness of dying, disappearing, all possibility of death is overcome. This is the paradox of religion. Jesus says, if you are going to cling to yourself, you will lose yourself. If you want to attain yourself, don't cling. Those who try to be are destroyed. Not that somebody is there destroying you. Your very effort to be is destructive. Because the moment the idea arises that I should persist, you are moving against the whole. It is as if a wave is trying to be against the ocean. Now the very effort is going to create worry and misery. And one moment will come when the wave will have to disappear. But now, because the wave was fighting against the ocean, the disappearance will look like death. If the wave was ready, and if the wave was aware that I am nothing but the ocean, so what is the point to persist? I have been always and I will be always, because the ocean has always been there and will be always there. I may not exist as a wave. Wave is just the form that I have taken for the moment. The form will disappear, but not my content. I may not exist like this wave. I may exist like another wave. Or I may not exist as wave as such. I may become the very depth of the ocean where no waves arise. But the innermost reality is going to remain. Because the whole has penetrated you. You are nothing but the whole, an expression of the whole. Once awareness is established that I am neither this nor that, when one has become aware and is not identified with anything whatsoever, there is a cessation of desire for dwelling in the Atma, in the Self. Then the last desire disappears. And the last is the fundamental. Hence Buddha says that you can drop desiring money, wealth, power, prestige. That's nothing. You can stop desiring the world. That's nothing. Because those are secondary desires. The basic desire is to be. So people who renounce the world start desiring liberation. But liberation also is their liberation. They will remain in moksha, in a liberated state. They desire that pain should not be there. They desire that misery should not be there. They will be in absolute bliss, but they will be. The insistence is that they must be there. That's why Buddha could not get roots into this country, which thinks itself very religious. The most religious man that was born on this earth could not get roots into this religious country. What happened? He said, He insisted to drop the basic desire of being. He said, be a non-being. He said, don't be. He said, don't ask for liberation, because the freedom is not for you. The freedom is going to be freedom from you, not for you, but from you. Liberation is liberation from yourself. See the distinction. It is not for you. Liberation is not for you. It is not that liberated you will exist. Liberated, you will disappear. Buddha said only bondage exists. Let me try to explain it to you. Have you ever come across health? You have been healthy many times. But can you say what is health? Only disease exists. Health is non-existential. You cannot pinpoint. If you have a headache, you know it is there. But have you ever known the absence of a headache? In fact, if there is no headache, the head also disappears. You don't feel it anymore. If you go on feeling your head, that simply shows that there must be a certain tension inside, a certain stress, a strain, a sort of headache must be there continuously. If your whole body is healthy, the body disappears. You forget that the body is insane. When meditators sit for many years, just sitting and doing nothing, a certain moment comes when they forget that they have bodies. That is their first satori. Not that the body is not there, body is there. But there is no tension, so how to feel it? If I speak something, you can hear me. But if I am silent, how can you hear me? Silence is there. It has much to communicate to you. But silence cannot be heard. Sometimes when you say, yes, I can hear the silence, then you are hearing some noise. Maybe the noise of the dark night. But it is still noise. If it is absolutely silent, you will not be able to hear it. When your body is perfectly healthy, you don't feel it. If some tension arises in the body, some disease, some illness, then you start hearing. If everything is in harmony and there is no pain and no misery, suddenly you are empty and nothingness overwhelms you. The self is nothing but accumulated tensions. The self is nothing but all sorts of diseases, illnesses. The self is nothing but desires unfulfilled, hopes frustrated, expectations, dreams, all broken, fractured. It is nothing but accumulated disease that you call self. Or take it from another side. In moments of harmony, you forget that you are. Later on, you may remember that how beautiful it was, how fantastic it was, how far out. But in moments of real far outness, you are not there. Something bigger than you has overpowered you. Something higher than you has possessed you. Something deeper than you has bubbled up. You have disappeared in deep moments of love. Lovers disappear. In deep moments of silence, meditators disappear. In deep moments of singing, dancing, celebration, celebrators disappear. One is so fulfilled, so tremendously fulfilled, that one never thinks in terms of being. For what? You want to be there tomorrow also, because the today is unfulfilled. The tomorrow is needed. Otherwise you will die unfulfilled. The yesterday was a deep frustration. Today is again a frustration. Tomorrow is needed. A frustrated mind creates future. A frustrated mind clings with the future. A frustrated mind wants to be, because now, if death comes, no flower has flowered. Nothing has yet happened. There has only been a fruitless waiting. No, how I can die? I have not even lived yet. That unlived life creates a desire to be. People are so much afraid of death. These are the people who have not lived. These are the people who are in a certain sense already dead. A person who has lived and lived totally, does not think about death. If it comes, good, he will welcome. He will live that too. He will celebrate that too. Life has been such a blessing, a benediction. One is ready even to accept death. Life has been such a tremendous experience. One is ready to experience death also. One is not afraid, because the tomorrow is not needed. Today has been so fulfilling. One has come to fruition, flowered, bloomed. Now the desire for tomorrow disappears. The desire for tomorrow is always out of fear. And fear is there because love has not happened. The desire to remain always simply shows that deep down you are feeling yourself completely meaningless. You are waiting for some meaning. Once the meaning has happened, you are ready to die. Silently, beautifully, gracefully. The self is nothing but the most purified form of the ego. It is the last remnant of strain, stress, tension. You are still not open perfectly. Something is still closed. When you are completely open, just a watcher on the hill, a witness, even the death desire disappears. And with the disappearance of this death desire, something absolutely new happens in life. A new law starts functioning. You have heard about the law of gravitation. You have not heard about the law of grace. The law of gravitation is that everything falls downwards. The law of grace is that things start falling upwards. And that law has to be there because in life everything is balanced by the opposite. The science has come to discover the law of gravitation. Newton, sitting on a bench in a garden, saw one apple falling. It happened or not, that is not the point. But seeing that the apple is falling down, a thought arose in him. Why things always fall downwards? Why not otherwise? Why not a ripe fruit falls upwards and disappears into the sky? Why not sideways? Why always downwards? He started brooding and meditating. And then he discovered a law. He came upon, stumbled upon a very fundamental law. That the earth is gravitating things towards itself. It has a gravitation field. Like a magnet, it pulls everything downwards. Potentially, Buddha, Krishna, Christ, they also became aware of a different fundamental law, higher than gravitation. They became aware that there comes a moment in the inner life of consciousness when consciousness starts rising upwards. Exactly like gravitation. If the apple is hanging on the tree, it does not fall. The tree helps it not to fall downwards. When the fruit leaves the tree, then it falls downwards. Exactly the same. If you are clinging to your body, you will not fall upwards. If you are clinging to your mind, you will not fall upwards. If you are clinging to the idea of self, you will remain under the impact of gravitation. Because body is under the impact of gravitation and mind also. Mind is subtle body. Body is gross mind. They both are under the impact of gravitation. And because you are clinging with them, you are not under the impact of gravitation, but you are clinging with something which is under the impact of gravitation. It is as if you are carrying a big rock and trying to swim in a river. The rock will pull you down. It won't allow you to swim. If you leave the rock, you will be able to swim easily. We are clinging to something which is functioning under the law of gravitation, body, mind. Once you have become aware that you are neither the body nor the mind, suddenly you start rising upwards. Some center somewhere high in the sky pulls you up. That law is called grace. Then God pulls you upwards. And it has to be there, that type of law. Otherwise gravitation cannot exist. In nature, If positive electricity exists, the negative electricity has to exist. Men exist, then the woman has to exist. Reason exists, then intuition has to exist. Night exists, the day has to exist. Life exists, death has to exist. Everything needs the opposite to balance it. Now science has become aware of one law, of gravitation. Science still needs to give it another dimension, the dimension of falling upwards. Then life becomes complete. You are a meeting place of gravitation and grace. In you, grace and gravitation are crisscrossing. You have something of the earth and something of the sky within you. You are the horizon where earth and sky are meeting. If you hold too much of the earth, then you will forget completely that you belong to the sky, to the infinite space, the beyond. Once you are no more attached with the earth part of you, suddenly you start rising high. A new gravitation starts functioning. Liberation is nothing but entering the stream of grace. You cannot liberate yourself. You can only drop the barriers. Liberation happens to you. Have you seen a magnet? Small iron pieces are pulled towards it. You can see those small iron pieces rushing towards the magnet. But don't be deceived by your eyes. In fact, they are not rushing. The magnet is pulling them. On the surface, it appears that those iron filings are moving towards the magnet. That is just on the surface. Deep down, something just the opposite is happening. They are not moving towards the magnet. The magnet is pulling them towards himself. In fact, it is the magnet who has reached them. With the magnetic field, it has approached them, touched them, pulled them. If those iron filings are free, not attached to something, not attached to a rock, then the magnet can pull them. If they are attached to a rock, the magnet will go on pulling, but they will not be pulled because they are attached. Exactly the same happens. Once you discriminate that you are not the body, you are no more bound to any rock. You are no more in bondage with earth. Immediately, God's magnet starts functioning. It is not that you reach to God. In fact, God has already reached you. You are under His magnetic field, but clinging to something. Drop that clinging and you are in the stream. Buddha used to say, once you fall into the stream, then the stream takes you to the ocean. Then you need not do anything. The only thing is to jump into the stream. You are sitting on the bank. Enter the stream. And then the stream will do the remaining work. It is as if you are standing on a high building, on the roof of a high building, 300 feet or 500 feet above the earth. You go on standing, the gravitation has reached you, but it will not work unless you jump. Once you jump, then you need not do anything. Just a step out of the roof, enough, your work is finished. Now the gravitation will do all the work. You need not ask now what I am supposed to do. I have taken the first step. The first is the last step. you start moving slowly upwards. Your life energy starts rising high, an upsurge. And it is unbelievable when it happens, because it is against all the laws that you have known up to now. It is a levitation, not gravitation. Something in you simply starts moving upwards, and there is no barrier to it. Nothing bars its path. Just a little relaxation, a little unclinging, the first step. And then, automatically, spontaneously, your consciousness becomes more and more discriminative, more and more aware. Let me tell you about another thing. You have heard the word, the phrase, vicious circle. Let us make another phrase, virtuous circle. In a vicious circle, one bad thing leads to another. For example, if you get angry, then one anger leads you to more anger. And of course, more anger will lead you to more anger still. Now, you are in a vicious circle. Each anger will make the habit of anger more strong and will create more anger. And more anger will make the habit still more strong. And on you move in a vicious circle, which goes on becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. Let us try a new word, virtuous circle. If you become aware, suddenly you see that you are no more the body. Not that you renounce the body, in your very awareness the body is renounced. If you become aware, you become aware that these thoughts are not you. In that very awareness, those thoughts are renounced. You have started dropping them. You don't give them any more energy. You don't cooperate with them. Your cooperation has stopped. And they cannot live without your energy. They live on your energy. They exploit you. They don't have their own energy. Each thought that enters you partakes of your energy. And because you are willing to give your energy, it lives there. It makes its abode there. And of course, then its children come, and friends and relatives, and this goes on. Once you are a little aware, awareness brings renunciation. And renunciation makes you capable of becoming more aware. And of course, more awareness brings more renunciation, and so on and so forth. This is what I am calling the virtuous circle. One virtue leads to another, and each virtue becomes again a ground for more virtue to arise. Still many intervals will be there, so don't be discouraged. Even if you have become very aware, and in certain moments you feel the pull, the upward pull of grace, and in certain moments you are in the stream floating perfectly, beautifully, with no effort, effortlessly, and everything is going and running smooth, still there will be gaps. Suddenly you will find yourself standing again on the bank, just because of old habits. For so many lives, you have lived on the bank just because of the old habit. Again and again, the past will overpower you. Don't be discouraged by it. The moment you see that you are again on the bank, again get down into the stream. Don't be sad for it, because if you become sad, you will be again in a vicious circle. Don't be sad for it. Many times the seeker comes very close quarters, and many times he loses the track. No need to be worried. Again, bring awareness. This is going to happen many times. It is natural. For so many millions of lives, we have lived in unawareness. The struggle is hard, but not impossible. It is difficult. It is very arduous. But don't become sad and don't become discouraged. Whenever you remember again, nothing to be worried about what has happened. Let your awareness again be established, that's all. Continuously establishing your awareness again and again and again will create a new impact inside your being, a new impression of virtue. One day, it becomes as natural as other habits.
With you, beloved.
Today we have a small meditation for you that Osho gave after the following question. Even when there is no need to, I often hurry when I am doing things, especially eating. And this is Osho's answer. Something is eating you. Some deep worry is inside that creates hurry. Some deep tension, which does not allow you to relax. The next time you are eating something, watch what is eating you. When you are hurrying, just watch. Are you escaping from somewhere? Are you trying to avoid some situation? Are you trying not to see something that is there inside of you? Are you trying to suppress something? Is there some worry and you don't even want to accept that it is there? Is there some wound that you are hiding in flowers? Watch deep down. All people who are in a hurry simply show that they are carrying some deep worry and they are not even courageous enough to face it. Bring it up. Let it surface. Encounter it and you will be simply surprised. If you can encounter any problem face to face, directly, it disappears. In the inner world, to know what a problem is, to know exactly what it is, to diagnose it, is to treat it. There is no other medicine in the inner world. This was Osho Radio for this week. The music you are listening to in this program was by Parijat and Tamayo, by Chinmaya Dunster, by Yashu, by Milarepa, Upavas, and we're going to finish with some Spanish sounds from Govi. It is from his CD Guitarra Mística, and the number is called Voices in the Wind. Bye-bye, everybody. Until the next time. Take care. And we wish you all a good week. Namaste.